Today, our fantastic pastor, Pete Sims.
Okay, well, hopefully we're good. You may have seen one of my little props at the back here, a cup of coffee being trodden on during the prayer, so that's good. That's going to be fine. No, you can take it if you like. Thank you, sir. Yeah, looking forward to speaking this morning. I appreciate it's 10 past 11. The morning has been fantastic so far, so I wouldn't have changed a thing. And rather than speak at double speed, just pray for me as I'm talking, that all the stuff that he didn't want me to say anyway, he can just give it off. So 7 pages become 3.5, and we're fine with that. Don't worry, it's a big font. Imagine, 0.8 font. Okay, so my name's Pete. It's nice to be up here speaking this morning. The theme for this month is Thrive. And it's been brilliant so far to listen to Nikki speak about thriving and not striving and the conditions that we need for thriving. Do go online, have a listen to that. Then last week, FA spoke brilliantly on following Jesus well and what that means for us and how that enables us to thrive. And it is my chance to add to some of this teaching on the theme of thriving. So let's look at a passage together that I think will help us to thrive. I'd like to say this morning that there are times that hopefully you're going to get a hug from Jesus as I speak, and some encouragement. And there are times when you're going to be prodded and poked by a flower, and that will make sense, okay? So there's going to be some encouragement in there. It's like, come on. And there's going to be a little prod, not from me, but from a flower. So let's have a look at this together. Luke 12, 22 to 31. I'm reading from the NLT. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear. For life consists of far more than food and clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't do little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. And don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Don't worry whether God will provide it for you. These things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Or seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He already knows it. Lord, please open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. This verse begins with "don't worry." Don't worry. And I think that God wants to say that very simply to some people today. If that's the only bit you hear, God just saying to you this morning, don't worry. He's not saying it in a, I really think this morning as I was just sitting there, he's not saying it in a telling off kind of way. You know, not what's wrong with you lot, why are you worrying? It's not that. It's do not worry. Leave it with me. That situation, that circumstance that's really concerning you this morning, church, do not worry. Leave it with me. Not worrying is an easy thing to say. It's easy to say and it's hard to do. I understand that. But Jesus says you can't add a day to your life. In fact, we know pretty much that the opposite is going to be true. You can certainly knock days off your life by worrying, but you're not going to add anything. So how do we do it? Yes, we can remember that God cares for the birds so beautifully. He cares for the flowers of the field. And how much more is he going to look after us? Maybe we need to be reminded of that today. The passage ends in my Bible with, he'll give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Make God's rule his way. Make that your way. Make it your primary concern. Praying the Lord's Prayer to see God's kingdom come now. Make that your primary concern and he'll look after your other needs. Remember, that's not your other wants. It's your other needs. So how can we thrive? By not worrying and by seeking first the kingdom of God. That's great. And they're both messages that could be spoken of in their own right. But I want to focus in a bit more on a different part of the passage. Let's look at verses 27 and 28. Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And now we're going to increase the magnification a little further. Look at the lilies and how they grow. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. Look at the lilies and how they grow. Your translation may say what I think is a better version of look at, which is consider. Consider the lilies. See, I normally gloss over that bit of the scripture. I don't know about you. I know the don't worry bit, and I know the seek first the kingdom of God bit, and I know the flowers and the birds are looked after, but I don't really consider the lilies. I haven't considered them. And so I thought, right, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a bit of considering. There is a Greek word. I love the way you pronounce it. Katanoio. Hey, it's not me. That's what it says. Katanoio. Look at that. This is what we're supposed to do about those flowers, but probably we haven't done it yet. To perceive them, to remark, to observe and understand, to consider attentively, to fix our eyes or mind upon. You can imagine the people Jesus is speaking to having time to actually sit and study and think about these flowers, whereas I haven't, because I've just thought the flowers are good, the birds are good, and so will I be because God cares for me more than them. I think that's how most of us probably read that passage quite quickly. So this is something that I thought, I'm going to study this. I'm going to study it. This is really in-depth focus on something God wants us to do. There's probably loads, there will be hundreds, thousands of passages of scripture that we have read and we haven't considered, so we've been doing other things in our mind. I couldn't prepare this message whilst watching the rugby because I needed to be considering what's going on. Fix our minds upon it. So I did consider. And I looked at this flower or lily, as it's described in some versions of the Bible. And according to my beautiful paperback version of the Encyclopedia of the Bible, it is probably an anemone coronaria. Okay, now flower people will be like, huh, I know that name. Well, you may be. An anemone coronaria, okay, which is, it's brilliant because it ends with the word aria, so I was quite happy with that. And it is a beautiful, beautiful flower. It didn't look like I thought it would. It's like when I first went to Uganda and it was lush and there was loads of vegetation and everything you plant grows. I was like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't think that. I thought it was supposed to be dusty. We're so ignorant sometimes about how things are. I thought, well, this is like Israel-Palestine area. This is around the Sea of Galilee, bound to be pretty arid and dusty. Nothing will grow. And so I wonder what these lilies actually look like. Well, here we are. The anemone coronaria. So today we're going to spend some time perceiving these flowers, understanding them, considering these things attentively and fixing our minds upon them, okay? The Bible passage says that these flowers thrive because they're more beautiful than Solomon in all of his splendor. So this is a good passage for us with thriving. Have a look at this. Oh, you can't have a look at this. That is so rubbish. I'm so sorry about that. Could we turn the lights off? But the problem is, as you know, it's the middle of the projector. Oh, they're better. It's better. Thank you. Okay, that is taken by the Sea of Galilee in Palestine. That could well be one of the things Jesus was looking at. It looks lovely on my phone. But do have a look at some of these pictures of these lilies around Israel. In fact, this flower became the national plant in 2013, which is really cool, of Israel. So we're going to look at that passage, okay? And I thought a good thing to do, we've got loads of primary school teachers in. Let's look at four conditions that plants need to thrive and look at how it works for us. We like that, don't we? So when I went on and I put, you know, you go on primary school teaching stuff, go on the websites, pull down the PowerPoints that you guys would never just copy and use in your lessons, we had four conditions that came up. And those things were water and sunlight, warmth and soil/nutrients. Okay? Water, sunlight, warmth, soil/nutrients. And then when I went on the Royal Horticultural Society website, that was fun, I was looking in there about growing plants indoors, and they say the atmosphere is really important as well. So I'm going to throw that in the 9 minutes we got left. Basically, there'll be kids all over the place, and I'll still be going, but that'll be okay. Okay, so let's consider these five things, shall we? The first one I don't need to speak about because I've spoken about it already. Water. You know you need to be hydrated. I know I need to be physically, and I'm thirsty now. It's ridiculous. I know, I said it before, didn't I? Dry mouth syndrome up here. Should have drunk more yesterday for that to be okay. But we know about hydration. We need to be well watered with God and with the Holy Spirit. We know this, okay? If you don't know it, go back, have a listen to my message from before, because we need to move on to the second thing that flowers need, and that is sunlight. They need light. They need light to grow. We're called to live in the light. That's where we thrive, because we're people of the light. Yet some of us do things that we know belongs to darkness. We know some of the things that we do are not of the kingdom of God. They are of the kingdom of darkness. Definitely. There's no doubt in our minds. It's blatantly obvious that we flirt with things that we shouldn't be flirting with. We cross over the line. We straddle from light to dark. We live on this border. Yes, we're in the light, but we're just going to put our toes over here because we like this thing. We enjoy doing it, this thing of darkness. And I think that a challenge that God wants to put out to us, a poke from the flower, is don't. Let's just stop. Let's just not do that. We are people of the light. We thrive when we are in the light. We are not made for the darkness. Today's a day to stop living in darkness if we do. What about shade? There's more than 50 shades of it. According to the Royal Horticultural Society, the lily that Jesus refers to requires that this plant needs to be planted in full sunshine to thrive. So we can actually go and buy some of these. I thought it'd be cool to plant them in our garden somewhere this year because they're available in the UK. You can get these, but they need to be planted not in full shade, not the back of our north-facing garden. They need to be not in partial shade, but in full sunlight. And I thought, oh my Lord, we're considering this lily and that's how we're supposed to live. All right, not in darkness, but what about the shade that we like to play with for a while? The different types of shade that we get involved with. That's not what we're supposed to do. Things that the Holy Spirit points out to us and says, you should not be doing that, Pete. I spoke on this a few years ago. You should not be doing that. Why are you doing it? I'm giving you a discernment that is not for you. Don't do it. I'm not talking about complete darkness here. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit saying to you personally and to me personally, this is not good for you. This is not healthy for you. Please don't do this anymore. There's a Bible verse, Romans 14:23, that says this. Because you might think, well, surely everything's right or wrong and there's no middle ground. Romans 14:23. If you have doubts whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it. See? If you have doubts whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it. That's quite blatant, isn't it? For you're not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Romans 14:23. Now this is really key for us, I think, because sometimes we go along with the flow because other Christians we look up to are doing it. Oh, now that's a challenge. That's such a challenge. You're around my house for dinner and I say something you think I shouldn't be saying. Let's just put this example out there, okay? Or you're around someone else's house, your life group leader's house, who knows? You look up to them spiritually and they think this thing's okay, but the witness to you, the Holy Spirit's saying, this is not for you, this is not good. Then you are sinning if you join in. If 10 people are eating burgers, this is metaphorical now, if 10 people are eating spiritual burgers and Holy Spirit says to you, you're not allowed burgers, for you that's a sin, don't eat it and say, well, they're doing it, it's okay for them. That is not how we're called to live. That's a grey, shady area that we're not supposed to live in. If you're not sure, don't do it. If you're not sure about it, you're like, well, I don't know. Don't do it until you feel it's wrong. Don't do it until God says it's right. Okay? If you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you're sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you're not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you're sinning. For me, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, especially to young people, but as loads of people do it. For me, it's certain video games. I had to stop playing years ago. I used to love the old games like Street Fighter, and all the things that were going on. There were loads of Street Fighter was a cool game, and every time you sort of you hit someone and did things, it was just like flashes of yellow. It could have been like shooting ducks in a shooting range, and they just go bing, bing. I used to like that. But gradually, as games have progressed, they've become more and more realistic until it actually looks like you're killing people. And I remember I had this game. It was only a 15 game, certificate 15, and it was just a sniper game. You just pick people off. And one day I had a dream in the middle of the night that I killed somebody with a sniper rifle, and I woke up. It was horrendous. And God said to me, "What are you doing? Why'd you do that? That is not for you." I'm not telling everybody that playing that game is the wrong thing. You are not to do it. So I was like, I won't. And then stupidly, I woke up and thought, right, I'll give all my old games to my brother. I was like, what am I doing? So then I got a Stanley knife out, and it was much better. I thought, no one's having these. I'm not taking them to the charity shop. So I just took them apart and felt very good about it. And then some of the films that I used to enjoy watching, I was like, why am I watching that? That scares me. Out came the Stanley knife, make it dramatic, and get rid of it. Because it wasn't for me. But what the challenge is, what is Holy Spirit pointing out to you? What's a shade of grey in your life that you should not be touching anymore? Okay? We are called to live in full sunlight, not partial shade. Don't live in partial shade. You're not going to thrive there. You want to thrive? You want to live life in all its fullness? I do. I want to live in the full sunshine. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we've heard from him and declare it to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. See, this flower gives you some prods, doesn't it? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Challenge number one from this lily, this anemone coronaria, is that we live in full light and not in the shade anymore. Second thing is the nutrients. The nutrients and the soil. These things are essential for a plant to live, for this plant in particular, as well as many others. So let's look at the soil first of all. This is where the plant puts down its roots and where it gets its nutrients from. For this lily in particular, there are some storms that whip up. You hear about that. I've been looking at the weather systems coming in on the Sea of Galilee. Storms can whip up very quickly. That's why there's the stories of Jesus in boats and suddenly storms emerge. These winds can come in and whip through gardens like this. And if the plants weren't well rooted, they would all just get blown away and completely destroyed. So they need roots to give them stability in the storms of life. So how are we doing when the storms of life come? How are our roots? Are we well rooted? Who are we holding securely onto? We may be rooted, but what are we rooted to? I remember in the original Superman film, Lois Lane gets caught by Superman and he says, "Don't worry, I've got you." And she says, "You've got me. Who's got you?" Do you remember that bit? If you don't, get watching. It's been a while. But who's got me? You've got me. Who's got you? And I think that made me think about the roots that we have in life. We could well be rooted. We think, yep, we're really firmly secure, but what on earth are we rooted to? If we're not rooted to Jesus, we can be in a lot of trouble. Are we rooted to having good health? Is that really like, that's the thing, Lord, just health? Job security, house security, relationships. There's nothing wrong with wanting any of those things, but when push comes to shove, the bottom line is we have to be rooted firmly in Jesus, and then our hope will hold firmly to him. And if we don't have our roots in Jesus, we're in trouble. And when we're rooted well, it brings life. It brings beauty, shade, shelter, a place to nest. When we're rooted well, when a plant's rooted well, it reproduces. It produces fruit. That's what we want to be doing in our lives. That's the thriving we want to do. Our root is so important. check yours out. I'm going to check mine out, making sure that I'm rooted in Jesus. I remember going on holiday in the lakes, and we used to do crazy things, health and safety out the window when we'd go on our holidays. And my little brother, I remember he was like 5 or 6 years old with his little backpack on, a big pair of red wellies, and we're doing like striding edge. We're doing all sorts of things. There was one time when he fell over, and he had his rucksack. He couldn't stop. He's like bouncing down. He just went for ages. He probably went from here to the end of the auditorium, but down. Just like, boing, boing. I was like, oh my gosh. And I got, you know the worst thing about nervous laughter? All I could do was laugh. I found it so funny, but I didn't find it funny, but I couldn't stop laughing. As I was running to try and help him, I was almost in tears with laughter. But we did reckless things. So I remember like climbing up stuff, and Dad's like, go on, you can do it. And we're like shoving each other up. My sisters are crying. We're pulling each other up as best we can. And then suddenly there are times where you think, I'm going to slip. And you see what to grab onto. And sometimes it's amazing how much strength there is in a ball of grass. If it's well rooted, you're like, got it, come on. And you think, this is amazing. It's like, it's just, what is this? How's it so strong? Because it's got such amazing roots, and they're holding on to the rock. And then you can pull yourself up on them. So other pieces, you might grab a bit of grass that's just attached to nothing, and it just crumbles away, and you've just got to quickly grab something else. Roots are absolutely important. It's what they're rooted to that's important. When trial comes, when the storms of life come, what are you rooted to? And is that thing immovable? We won't do that bit today. Nutrients. Our diet is so important. The nutrients from the soil. If we live on junk food, fast food, fatty food, and don't have vitamins in our diet, we know that's bad. If the only drink we drink is Coke, we know that's bad. As parents, we haven't given Aria any refined sugar yet because we think, why bother? She's perfectly happy on a strawberry. Why do we need to introduce this thing? And one day she will get into those things, that's fine, but not for now. We know that diet is really important. So when we're considering the soil and the nutrients it contains, I want to throw out this question. What do you feed on? Do you feed on regular healthy meals of hanging out with God in worship, reading the Bible, stillness, celebration, prayer, meditation, walking and talking with Him? Or is your diet with God binge and starve? Binge and starve. It's a challenge. What are you watching? What are you playing? Games. What games are we playing? It's got an 18 certificate, as about 85% of games do. No, just don't play it. There's a good little thing. Just don't do it. The only game I've got, and I'm still dubious, Holy Spirit's on my case about this, I've got a James Bond game that's a 12. It's a 12 certificate. I'm like, I don't know if I'm allowed it. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Romans 14. If you don't know whether you're allowed it, don't do it. Otherwise, you're sinning. Well, there we go. Vulnerable is to vulnerable be. There we go. It's gone. Standing Life's coming out this afternoon. No one can have that game. It's going to be beautiful. I'll put a picture up. You'll see it on Facebook. Okay, so there we go. I'm challenged, and that's good, because I don't stand here saying I've got it together. What are you watching? What are you playing? What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you laughing at that isn't even funny? What is feeding you? Is it full sunshine or is it grey? Is it dark? Okay, back to the soil itself. The soil itself. Consider the lily. Still considering the lily, right? The Anemone coronaria prefers, according to the Royal Horticultural Society, a sandy loam. A sandy loam soil. Now, I did A-level geography and I did soil. It was horrible. But a sandy loam. Good thing about a sandy loam is it's got great drainage. Okay, just that's all you need to know. Good drainage, which means it needs frequent irrigation. That's cool. This plant that you saw earlier on, it needs frequent irrigation. It can't store up water enough for a week, and nor can we. We looked at that when we did hydration. It needs regular soaking. We need regular soaking to thrive, okay? Don't think you can binge on God and then not moving forward. You know, sometimes you get a quote from like Mother Teresa or somebody amazing up on the screen. I've come up with a quote this week, which is kind of insane. Because I thought this, so I thought I'd write it. Look at that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, you've got to work it out. A sandy loam, this is the soil, yeah? A sandy loam is not the camel of the soil world. Now, what that basically means is it can't store water in its hump. No, okay. So a sandy loam is not the sort of soil that's like, give me a good soaking now and I'll be fine for a week because I'm a good claggy clay and I'm good. I'll keep watering for ages. No. I have to read it because I can't even remember it. It's so weird. A sandy loam is not the camel of the soil world. I don't know that I'm going to have a book of quotes, but I may. I may. Yes, there we go. So we need regular and frequent filling from God, and we need to watch what we're eating. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. We're doing all right. Are you okay still? Yeah. We could call it a day. Okay. Let's maintain the correct temperature. Right, my dad's got an oven. Most of us have. It's not that amazing. Thank you very much and good night. No, my dad's got an oven. And it's an old oven. I mean, it's old. It barely works. It doesn't really get hot. It's a gas oven. The door, all the seals have gone, so it doesn't really shut. So he uses like a coat hanger to shut it to the oven above. He just ties it on. So when we go around there, yeah, and when we go around there at Christmas, he cooks just ridiculous amounts of food. Three different meats, four types of potatoes, loads of everything in this little oven. And he starts like early in the morning. It's a total, it's just a work of art, seeing he's got sheets and sheets of when he's supposed to do things and get things back to warm again and all sorts. It's amazing. He even manages to heat plates for about 12 people in the same oven. It's like, Dad, this is an incredible thing. But he, maintaining the temperature in that thing is a beast. I don't know how it cooks anything. That oven is so old, it still bears the scars of a 15-year-old me losing my temper above it. You know, there's a cupboard, right? That is on a hinge, and that's a bit broken as well. And every now and again, it will swing up. And I was looking into the oven like this, and the door, when I was about 15, went and hit me in the head. Right before I knew it, I'd hit it back, and it's got and it's got a crack straight down the middle, and it's still there. How we change over life. 27 years ago, I punched a cupboard, but thankfully, I don't anymore. But this is an old, you know, the kitchen was old then. And so was this oven. Who here has returned home to invite friends round after church or something? They get home to smell the beautiful aroma of their roast chicken to suddenly think, I can't smell anything. You go in and you didn't put the timer on or something went wrong and you've just got a cold bird sitting in the oven. You're like, oh, KFC. Bake Off. Think of the Bake Off. We love it, but we feel stressed for them because the oven's different from their one at home. Oh, no. At home, this takes 25 minutes. It's been in for 30, and it's still not cooked. You know the pressure. It's terrible. Getting the right temperature is really important. And it is for our lily. The anemone coronaria needs the right temperature to thrive. Plants have an optimum growing temperature. The soil temperature is the really important thing, not the air temperature. Keen gardeners know that nothing grows in our gardens when it's too cold. Over the winter months, I don't have to trim the hedge, I don't have to mow the lawn, it all just takes care of itself, it just sits there nicely until the soil temperature reaches a certain amount and suddenly the weeds are like, hello, we're back. The grass starts to come and everything starts to kick off again. I seem to have reached critical funny mass, so it doesn't matter what I say anymore. It's all amusing. Yeah, exactly. But what about us? Okay, what about us? Let's turn it back to us again, away from ovens and away from the ground. What about us? You see, this week I tuned into Gardener's Question Time. Yeah, I did do my research, as you can tell. Gardener's Question Time on Radio 4. Someone asked, should you believe the back of a packet of seeds as to when you're supposed to plant into the garden? And the answer came back, no, because it's not about the date there, it's about the temperature of the soil. It's really important. Optimum soil temperature is vital, and then growth will begin. And it got me thinking about optimal temperature for us, and I went to the book of Revelation, 3, 14 and 16. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's tough, isn't it? Tough reading today. We have optimum temperatures for thriving. Will you please play? This keeps disconnecting, as you can probably tell. There we go. We have optimum temperatures for thriving, just like the soil and just like the flowers. We're supposed to be hot. Hot for God, not lukewarm. I've got down here the remaining dregs of a little cup of coffee that is probably going to be revolting. That's beautiful. I can't stand lukewarm coffee. This one's almost cold. Actually, cold coffee is better than lukewarm, don't you think? If you're going to get an iced one, get an iced one. If you're going to get a hot one, get a hot one. But don't have one that's been sitting around since you got here. What time did we make it? I don't know. About 7:45. So that one's been there for a while. 8:45, sorry. Let's not get excited. The clocks change next week. Don't forget. Clocks change next Saturday night. This is a lukewarm cup of coffee, and it's horrible. It's horrible to taste. And God challenges us. He says, I wish you were hot or cold. He doesn't wish we were cold. I know I'm not changing scripture here. I think cold is like people who don't even know him. If you don't know him, you're cold in things spiritually. If you do know him, you've got to be hot. You can't know him and be lukewarm. That's the thing that doesn't make sense. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. For us to thrive, he doesn't want us living this. Do you live it sometimes? Do I live it? A life of lukewarm, comfortable, uninspiring, tepid, dull, grey, miracle-free, unsupernatural Christianity. I'll read that list again. He doesn't want us living a life of lukewarm, comfortable, uninspiring, tepid, dull, grey, miracle-free, unsupernatural Christianity. If we want to thrive, it's time for us to heat up. We want to represent Jesus well, don't we, to the world? It's time to heat up. We want to move from a place of nothing growing to a harvest coming. It's time for us to heat up. So how do we heat up? We get near to the source. We get near to the source. Get near to Jesus. You will begin to warm up. It's like playing hide and seek. You know, warmer, warmer, hotter, hotter. You're getting there. That's how it is with Jesus. Get closer and closer. You get warmer and warmer. You get hotter and hotter. Get around other hot coals. Who here in this family inspires you and heats you up? Who do you leave and you feel like, yes, come on, we can change the world for Jesus. This is amazing. I'm so encouraged and inspired. Get around those people. Don't be around the people who cool you down. The final thing in two sentences is this. That the Royal Horticultural Society says that plants need a lot of fresh air. This is particularly if you're growing them indoors. Indoors, shut all the doors, grow lots of plants, the carbon dioxide level will drop. And when it drops by a third, they don't grow anymore. That's the end of growth. You drop carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere and growth ceases until you open the doors, open the windows and get fresh air in again and growth can continue. And that seems so obvious to me about Holy Spirit in our lives. We're not supposed to live in a stale atmosphere. We're supposed to have a fresh infilling of Holy Spirit. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, fill me again. What adventures are we going to go on today? How can I partner with you? What do you want me to do? Lead me into great conversations with people. Guide me. Fill me again. I'm loving it. Let's go. And then the next morning, let's do it again the next morning. You don't brush your teeth once and then do it again next week. Let's do it regularly. Let's summarize, shall we? First thing then, for these beautiful flowers that we've been considering, we need to stay hydrated. The next thing is that we are to live in the light, not in darkness, and not in partial shade. If you're not sure if you should do it, don't do it. If Holy Spirit witnesses to you, don't do it, then don't do it. Check your roots. What are you attached to? Is it secure? Is it the hope of Jesus? Check what you're feeding yourself on, what nutrients are going in, because they ultimately will come out. And come out of lukewarm Christianity into exciting, naturally reproductive, into a faith journey that God's calling us to. If you want to thrive in this season, I suggest you consider the lily. Cool, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the depth that there is for us to uncover and to understand and to learn. Lord, we've considered this amazing flower. Lord, I pray that it, through it poking us and prodding us, will change our lives and make us more like you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Coffee over there for us, all if this is our family. If you're just joining us, come over there for a coffee. We'd love to meet you. Have a great day.